This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours, a time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey After Hours, and we're excited about the topic this week. We are excited that you're here with us, but we're also excited about the topic this week. Not to imply that we're not normally excited about the topic, unless it's Andy's topic, and then sometimes we're not as thrilled, but we're overly excited, you know, when it's his topic. But no, do any of you want to tell us what the topic is this week? Do any of you guys remember what we're talking about? Can anyone articulate it?
It's about quotes from movies that make an impact or sustains us as what came through the text, but yeah. It's just these movies that really affect how we think about God, ourselves. They're not just something, just a quote in random. They mean something in that movie, in that context, but they really can take on a meaning to our own lives. You know, we start boot camp, we get it from John Eldridge when he starts a boot camp. The first night when he talks about Core's Desires, he says, everybody, think back of the movies that make you come alive, that have the most impact in your life, and who do they make you, what character do you identify with the most? So movies play a big part, as you can tell from the clips that we play on the show and all, that they really play a big part of who we are as a ministry and how they speak to our heart.
Yeah, they take you back to important times in your life.
Absolutely.
Critical times or times with God. Yep. You know, they have the same effects a lot of times that songs have. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Andy. Very, very good job on that.
Thank you.
Yep.
And we still have time for three clips after that.
We do, yeah.
Cut mine.
Yeah. So, Harold, you actually have the first clip of this show. If you want to tell us, you want to tell us about the clip first? What do you want to do?
Well, I first wanted to read Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with your beloved wife during all the days of your fleeting life that God has given you on earth. That's sort of the intro to the clip. I'll say something more after the clip.
Okay, so this is from The Wedding Singer.
Right.
Right, and this is Adam Sandler singing to the love of his life.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
I want to make you smile whenever you're sad. Carry you around when your arthritis is bad. All I want to do is grow old with you. I'll get you medicine when your tummy aches. Build you a fire if the furnace breaks. Oh, it could be so nice growing old with you. I'll miss you, kiss you, give you my coat when you are cold. Need you, feed you, even let you hold the remote control. Let me do the dishes in our kitchen sink. Put you to bed when you've had too much to drink. Grows old with you.
I noticed you left out the part about loading the dishwasher.
Yeah, the focus for me in this is that a lot of people think that romance and excitement is only for the young. I got news for you. There's a line out of Bagger that fits the way I feel about my sweetheart. It's been 60 years that we've been married in a month from now, but it's only a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm very predictable, kind of like the tide. It's going to be a subject that's very easy for me to come up with because, as Willie Nelson said, she's always on my mind.
Can I say Roll Tide then?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The point of that is everybody knows in the room and probably you, everybody else out there, that Harold's a huge Auburn fan, so that was probably quite offensive to him.
I would say Harold is an enthusiastic Auburn fan because I'm pretty small.
Yeah.
So to use the word huge with me is a misapplication.
Oxymoron.
But, yeah, you know, I would encourage people to realize that just because you're growing old, you don't have to get stale. I love that woman even more probably now than I did when I asked her to marry me. And that was about 62 years ago now. But you can keep it fresh if you intend to. You know, I still open the car door for her. You know, that's something I started doing when we dated, and I've kept it up all these years. I write her poems from time to time. And to me, it's just fun. It's not, and I would never, ever refer to her as my old lady. She's my sweetheart.
And knowing Jan, that wouldn't be healthy.
But, yeah, growing old is, I'll have to admit, you know, 60 years ago, I wasn't really thinking about it at the time. But it's been something in the intervening years that that song means a lot. Mm-hmm. I want to grow old with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're old now. We're both over 80, so.
Well, you want to grow older with her still.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll take another 60.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, thank you, Harold. Appreciate that. Jim, you're actually next with your clip.
I've also got a Bagger Vance clip, and I do believe it has the line you just used in this one. This is one that I could have cut down to the last 4 or 5 seconds, but it is a discussion about taking a shot, but it's really about life, and the ultimate outcome at the end is my focal point. Let's listen.
So if they haven't seen the movie,
watch it.
The shots went errant into the woods.
Yeah, he's out in the woods and has a minuscule gap between two trees to shoot between, and he is getting ready to cheat by picking up or adjusting his ball when Bagger intervenes and keeps him from doing that.
Okay.
You gonna be wanting a different club, Dale Jr.?
I can't do this.
Hey, you might should just loose your grip up a smidge. You know, a man's grip on his club just like
a man's
grip.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I know.
No, you don't.
What I'm talking about is a game. A game that can't be won. Only played.
You don't understand.
I don't need to understand. Ain't a soul on this entire earth ain't got a burden to carry. He don't understand. You ain't alone in that. But you've been carrying this one long enough. Time to go on. Lay it down.
I don't know how.
You got a choice. You can stop. Where you can start?
Start?
Walking.
Where?
Right back to where you always been, and then stand there. Still. Real still. And remember.
It's too long ago.
Oh, no, sir. It was just a moment ago. Time for you to come on out the shadows, Junior. Time for you to choose.
I can.
Yes, you can. But you ain't alone. I'm right here with you.
I, again, get moved by that because in this movie, as was pointed out earlier, Bagger Vance is really God. He's the Holy Spirit. And it's my life has been full of shots in the woods. And actually, when he was talking about the shots that choose you earlier, he named 3 of my 5. The other 2 are hooks and slices. Outside of that, you know, those are the shots that select me, but I still love golf. And it is like life. And the bottom line to life is when you recognize that God is with you and he's been there all along, even when you were ignoring him. Mm-hmm. He is faithful, and it doesn't matter whether we're faithful to him or not. That does not affect his faithfulness, but it does affect our relationship. And if we love God, we are going to be pursuing that relationship. And, you know, Jesus simplified all of the rest of the Bible by saying, you know, I give you two commandments, love God and love others as you love yourself. And that's not a, you got to love yourself first. No, that's a, you love yourself whether or not you hate yourself as well, which is a place a lot of us are. But we still, when we don't have God, we put ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to.
Jim, thank you. Just from that clip you used, there are probably four or five quotes. Bagger Vance was never a movie I ever wanted to see. I don't really like golf that much. I'll do it when I have to. It's never been, you know, I enjoy being out in nature, but when I play, I see all of nature, the water, the woods, all of it, you know, and I'm not good at it. But I watched the movie reluctantly, and it's become probably my favorite, if not one of my favorite movies. And just in there, just in that little snippet, there are a couple of things that was said. The one you said, obviously, but he says that there's not a soul in this entire world that doesn't have a burden to carry that they don't understand. You know, and God spoke that to me a few times this last few months as I've been dealing with losing my brother and having other family members that are sick. And there's a lot of times the enemy would pull at you to say, to question why, or I don't understand God. But I would just hear this quote over and over, and it was okay. Right? It was just God saying, you know, I got this. Yeah, you don't know how it's going to end up. But I know you don't understand it, but I got it.
And you don't have to know. And that's the biggest move towards peace you'll have in your life is when you figure out that you don't have to figure everything out.
Absolutely. You know, and then you guys both quoted the other thing that was in there where he says, oh, no, it was just a moment ago. You know, we think that the things that happen to us because we're time constrained, right? We think that, oh, that was so long ago. Obviously, God can't do anything with it. That's been 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever the number is, 70 years. God's like, oh, no, that was just a moment ago. In his time, there is no time. Right, he is beyond time, and so for him, it doesn't really matter. It's inconsequential, right? That there is no time involved in that. You know, it's just okay. We're going to heal it now, and I probably said a word wrong there. I'm sure.
No, I just had a beautiful. Hopefully, I get through this and have time, but we'll make the time. When we're talking about golf, my father loved golf,
mm-hmm.
and I love my father. And I was never very good at golf. But, and as you pointed out, I got to see all the scenery. But my human father, like my heavenly father, would go into the woods with me to find my ball when mm-hmm. it was lost. And when we came out of those woods, I usually had four or five extra balls to mm-hmm. lose when I was playing alone because my father would see every golf ball out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our Father in heaven. He'll take us through the woods and we'll come out of them with a treasure.
Thank you. Well, you know, we can only follow that up with another sports related movie, right? So we go from Bagger Vance to Rudy, and you, Rodney, Rudy. It's kind of the same.
Yeah. I didn't know where to go when this topic came up. Cause I'm more like Andy said, he was, I'm not the big movie guy. I've watched a lot of movies over time, because my wife loved movies, but I've just never good at quoting and remembering a lot of things from movies. But one that has always stuck with me is Rudy, because he gets in the dumps. You know, it's just normal, natural things that would come up in a person's life. And Rudy being Catholic and just worried about, you know, well, where's God in this and things of that nature. He's a runt trying to play football at Notre Dame. I'm like, you're just not going to make the team, dude, you know, but he's got an incredible heart and he actually gets to play eventually, but he earns the respect of a lot of players because of his heart. He's going through troubles in school and all this other stuff. And you, even in this
scene here where it's kind of called There Is a God, because he goes to his pastor, just, what am I doing wrong? What, am I not praying enough? Because it's like, what he wants is God to kind of be that cosmic vending machine. And if I don't watch it, I do the same thing. It's like, well, why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Gee, God, I did this over here. Can't you cut me a break over there? And it's, you get in this bad place where you just want to perform and just be rewarded. And it's like, what drives me to actually trusting and understanding is the more I understand and know God. Mm-hmm. And that's where this quote comes up an awful lot in my life, where it's like, there is a God and I'm not him. So let's just go ahead and play.
Maybe I haven't prayed enough.
I'm sure that's not the problem.
Praying is something we do in our time. The answers come in God's time.
Have I done everything I possibly can? Can you help me?
Son, in 35 years of religious studies, I've come up with only two hard, incontrovertible facts. There is a God, and I'm not him.
And that just takes me into, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and who is Jesus? And then, of course, well, who sent him? Well, the Father sent him. He came to do the Father's will, right? And I just, that's where John, I just love the book of John. But you get into John, it's like, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent Jesus draws him. So the Father's involved, Jesus involved. And I'll get to the Spirit now. And there's so much in John as it goes along there, what the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So the world cannot receive him because the Father did not send us. He's not going to illuminate us, and the Spirit's not going to be in us. But you know him because he abides in us and we in him. And it, that is huge. And then it talks about being the Paraclete, the Helper, the Holy Spirit coming in, and he will teach you all things. And the truth proceeds from the Father, and the Spirit will testify about him, about Jesus. And it's like over and over, you get that relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit, which, you know, you look at where we're at, it's like we get drafted in, adopted into that. And I don't know how to express my gratitude. I don't have words. I don't have expressions. I don't have emotions to really express that. But I love just being grounded in truth, because I'm like, okay, I just, we've talked for about 3 years now, how much more contented I get. And I just love the fact of just saying, okay, if that's what you have for me, that's what you have for me. And I don't like it, doesn't matter. I know that he's doing what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And I just have to trust in that. And that helps me not have so many emotional highs and lows, and mostly lows, because I did not unknowingly suffer from depression and all kinds of stuff. Always, you know, thought about suicide, things of that nature. And that stuff's just pretty much just non-existent. I've a couple times since coming to Christ, other than that, it just doesn't come up. And I'm like so thankful for those things. Mm-hmm. And just to live a life abundantly doesn't mean I get gadgets and gizmos, but it does mean I have the love of the Father in me, and I can just sit back and relax and go to the next thing, whether it turns out the way I want to. It's just one of those things that I don't really know how to express.
Yeah, and there is a God, and you're not him.
I'm not him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people
that
are going to be able to say, you're right, Rodney.
Yeah. Robbie, do you feel comfortable sharing the story about that movie clip?
No, absolutely. Okay. So I had invited my brother to a boot camp, and, you know, I'd been witnessing to him, praying for him for years and years and years and years. And he actually brought his grandson, which is my grandnephew, to the camp as well, because unfortunately he was really struggling with a young man that had drowned right next to him. And so the very last talk we did at that camp, I was talking about this, or the last talk I did, we were talking about the sage and how it was pretty much just a point man to point people to God. And I played that clip, that very, you know, thing, there is a God and I'm not him. And I kept pointing that out, and my brother seemed affected, and certainly my grandnephew was affected. But on the way home, I get this text about an hour after they left camp, and he says, Robbie, I can't get it out of my mind. There is a God. I'm not him. I'm just wrecked. I'm just bawling. I don't know what to do. And so I told him, I'm praying for you, Mark, about another hour. Man, you're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe what happened. Well, what happened was that when my brother had left from Tennessee to come to North Carolina, he had told his grandson said, well, we're going to North Carolina. We're going to see a bear. My brother being my brother and like me, of course we're going to see a bear. We're going to North Carolina. Well, he gets all wrecked by this. He can't even drive. He's crying so bad. There is a God and I'm not him. And he's actually under conviction and, beginning to ask Christ into his life. And he pulls over the side of the road. He asks Devin to drive because Devin had just gotten his driver's license. And so they're in the, switchbacks area of around Asheville. And when they both get back in the car and shut the door, well, cue the bear comes across the road. And both of them, right, end up completely convicted and completely bringing Christ in their life. And there's no expressing over the last 2 years. Again, my brother in the Word, Devin teaching a Bible study. In other words, there's so many things. And I got to baptize Mark at the boot camp last fall. And so whenever I think of that clip, I think of, the conviction of it for somebody that has lived their whole life like me, thinking that I was God and there is a God and I'm not him. And for me, it'll always remember, one of the greatest moments that to me, what I saw God work in his life. Yeah.
Thank you. Andy, that brings us to you.
Yep. So how you want me to do this?
I don't care. It's your time. You do whatever you want, man. So just don't sing.
No. So I was telling the guys whenever with given this assignment, I started thinking through the quotes from the movies that had really made an impact on me. And it was hard to pick one. And they know me. We usually, for a radio show, I submit three clips instead of one because I want to cover it well, but.
Three is kind of light for what you actually do.
I was conservative there.
But, yeah, you were.
But just some of the clips that have impacted me. The first one that came to my mind was Open War is Upon You, but whether you would risk it or not. Powerful. And it engaged me as a man that I needed to enter into this thing called a spiritual warfare. And, you're a new man, Jean Valjean. That's from Les Mis. From Zorro, fight bravely and die quickly. It's how I lived a big part of my life. What we got? Three?
4 minutes. 4 minutes. Good.
So they kid me. We used this last week. You're men, ain't you? From Open Range. I mean, it's a begin, calling you into manhood, masculinity of following God into that. This time, the man is the mission from Saving Private Ryan, just about what we're about, as far as what we're here to offer. We're here. The mission is the man, or the man is the mission. Mm-hmm. Just one more from Hacksaw Ridge. If you build it, he will come. From Field of Dreams, I picked that up when we were listening to the clip earlier. It's not your fault, from Goodwill Hunting, where you're talking about the innocence lost and where the healing needs to come in mm-hmm. from the wound. So all those have impacted me, but I picked because it just was core to the heart of men, is that we're always confronted with our mortality and death and whether we're living to the way God intended. And William Wallace, as he's there in the jail, he's getting ready to be executed in a bad way, and the princess is there and she's crying over him, and he said, well, I'll let the clip speak for itself. So I won't tell you because my clip's not that long, so go ahead and play it.
If I swear to him that all that I am is dead already,
I will die. It will be awful.
Every man dies. Now every man really.
And every man truly does die, and some of them are dead here. They're men without chest.
Dead man walking.
Dead man walking. Yeah. And, you can live that miserable way for only so long, but I feel like I really am living now to a depth that I hadn't before. It's just been life-changing. And then there was one that I didn't mention that just came up recently, is just the impact of this message to us and then what are we to do with this message? What to from Braveheart? What will you do with that freedom? And but it's from Gladiator. It's like what we do in life echoes in eternity, and how true that is. And all these quotes, you know, they're not the Bible, but I can tie them all to Scripture. Mm-hmm. They make the Word come alive, but they're like modern day parables to tie to my heart, to something that's going on from history, or maybe a movie from history or whatever. But you know, real story, but maybe fictionalized through the story. But they're powerful quotes that mm-hmm. just grab me and remind me at times. To it'll take me to the Scripture, but it's a way to access my heart, you know, right away. So anyway, that I love the whole idea of this topic, as you could tell.
Yeah, excited about it. No, thank you. That's a great way to sum it up. And I would question you, if you're out there listening saying, okay, yeah, I have a couple quotes that really kind of mm-hmm. speak to me. All right, as we talked about the last show, ask God why. Mm-hmm. Spend some time with Him saying, God, what is it about this quote that you're trying to convey to me? Mm-hmm. It's not about the movie quote, I promise you. It's about something underneath. Right, yep. If it's from Gladiator, what we do in life echoes in eternity, what am I worried about leaving behind?
Right.
Yep. Right? Or not leaving behind? Maybe that's in, what's my legacy on this earth? What am I really imparting to my kids
right.
that'll come for generations to generations, or to my grandkids if you're at that stage of your life? Yep. Right? And so asking Him to enter into that with you and take mm-hmm. that journey and let Him peel back a couple layers, to go back to the first show, right?
That's
and
right.
say, okay, what's there that, God, you're trying to get at, that you're trying to unearth, because I know mm-hmm. it's something in here that's great for my heart, yep. it's great for our relationship, and let's walk through this journey together.
Amen.
Right? Any other closing thoughts before we head out? No. So go watch a good movie this week, right? And when that quote hits your heart, turn to the Father and say, okay, God, let's talk. Let's walk in this together.
Amen.
Go to masculinejourney.org. Register for the upcoming boot camp. It's coming up November 21st through 24th. You can register now, masculinejourney.org. If you have any questions for us, any of our first names, @masculinejourney.org is our email. So David@masculinejourney, Andy@masculinejourney. You got the whole idea, right? Even Harold@masculinejourney. We'll talk with you next week. Go love somebody well this week.
This is the Truth Network.